Holy crap. Holy crap. Holy crap. Holy crap. Holy crap. Ditto is going to be here tomorrow, as is Rhea, as is Mrs. Ditto. And Amy's going to be here the day after, and holy crap. The deadpan thing is happening this weekend. So Friday night's going to be a fun social evening. I will have to duck out for the Discworld. I'll actually be the cheesy game show host for a Hollywood Squares game show that they're running. I'm always amazed that I get the people, you know, look to me to do these things. But I'm happy to oblige, and it's fun. And I think, they seem to think I do a good job. But I will be very social anyway on Friday. And, of course, on Saturday is going to be the barbecue at the Lovelong and Prosper House. And, again, my boundless gratitude to Dan and CJ for hosting this. And there will be some deadpan recording. There will be some live deadpan events going on. We'll be watching Flash Gordon. And I'm willing to bring my laptop and microphone. And I believe that Dan and CJ are going to bust out their studio equipment, although they're already doing enough by hosting this. But there will be some deadpan recording at the event, and possibly even on Sunday night, but almost guaranteed on Saturday. So if you can't make it, if you're going to be partaking from afar, then pay attention, I guess, on Twitter or even to the deadpan. You know, just stay close, and times will be announced. I'm not going to dictate any times. Right now, I'm thinking somewhere around 6 or 7 p.m. Arizona time. Maybe we'll do some recording. Assuming everyone's had dinner and, you know, no one's puking drunk. And then, of course, Sunday night will be the party, and there'll be more goodness. And as I said, you know, there's a possibility of recording there, but probably the bulk of the recording will be at the barbecue on Saturday. And I have some ideas for some long lost and some, I don't know, some of my old segments that I've done on Deadpan and elsewhere I'd like to try and pull off at the party on Saturday. And of course, there'll be lots of good Flash Gordon goodness. Good Flash Gordon goodness. All right, that says it's time for the comments. The first comment of the week. We actually got 770 comments this week, so it was a very busy, very active week, which, you know, as I said, that makes me happy. You know, lots of comments kind of makes me feel all invigorated, like Hulk Hogan, you know, and all the Hulkamaniacs start going wild. Not that you guys are Hulkamaniacs, and I'm a roided up. Anyway, the first comment of the week. Vanamon says, "So now for something ... And I realize that I may be opening myself up for some uncomfortable moments if I'm going to read whatever the first comment is. You know, because there's potential there, but I appreciate you. So far, it's always been Vanamond, and so far, he's always been pretty good and gracious. All right, on to the grease. SB says, "Van, let me know if you need more book suggestions. I'm sure going to miss being with everyone in Phoenix. Damn my job, damn it straight to hell. And, quote, ... anyone who likes it is a homo, close quotes." And yes, SB, you will definitely be missed. Debbie says, "I've only dumped one person on Facebook lately. Who are you? I'll put you back, I promise. Now I'm feeling all guilty and shit. Star, pout, star." Nomad Scry says, "Spreadsheet innuendo. Now I've seen everything." The Energizer Bunny says, "Arg, I'm tired of spreadsheets." Yeah, was that kind of weak on Deadpan? CJ says, "Ed, sounds like your wife is one lucky lady. Smart, too. Parentheses, something tells me she didn't need to get you drunk." Close parentheses. Vanamon says, "Happy birthday, Sly B. Good to see you are fighting fit, CJ. I'm now off the weekend, heading off to Wales tomorrow for a friend's 30th birthday party. Ellipsis, 7-hour train journey. Groan." And the final comment of the week, Justa Joe says, "I carve them as notches in my own forehead. When I carved the notches in other people's foreheads, I got some complaints. 4. And all right, I'm going to break an unshow rule and put some content in this one. But before we get to the content, I will just note that there were an awful lot of birthdays in and around the Deadpan this week. So happy birthday to everyone who had a birthday this week. Happy unbirthday to everyone else. And I must also say my deep appreciation for all of you who've contributed content. I've received some fantastic stuff, and I'm starting to feel guilty now because some of this stuff has been dragged out for a little while. And my sincerest apologies. I was hoping to make this a regular show, but as you can see, it's not. But the next regular show will feature your stuff, and it's greatly appreciated. If you want to send me more, if you want to send me stories about how a song, any song, has been important in your life, it could be the song you danced to at your wedding, it could be a song that just made you look at girls differently, that made you look at the world differently, that just takes you back to a specific day of your childhood, you know, whatever. If you want to send dirty lyrics or terrible lyrics or any kind of lyrics, if you want to share anything at all, tell me the contents of your fridge, tell me a dumbass memory, then the voicemail line is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. It's also good if you want to send in your thoughts and your comments about the Flash Gordon film, because if the Flash Gordon Palooza, Flash in a Pan, or as T. Morris has been calling it, Manga Palooza, if you want to play, then by all means send stuff to that voicemail line or email it to me. My email address is sphericaljackm@gmail.com, and yeah. All right, I'm gonna wrap it up here because I'm just babbling. This is unbabble. But however, I must babble a little bit more to set up the uncontent here. In the last Deadpan episode, number 135, we began the short story, Nowhere in Jersey is Safe. And I probably should have written up a formal recap, but here goes the informal recap. Basically, a guy named Golis drops off a woman named Wen at a safe house, warns her that the mafia group, the Gandolfinis, that she had screwed over during her business career will come and find her, so she can't stay in the safe house. It ends, of course, with her in bed, and Golis, her spy protector, surprises her by climbing into bed with her. That's where we left off. And yeah, without further babble, here's part two of Nowhere in Jersey is Safe. And I'm not coming back after the Jersey. Good night, Mush. Nowhere in Jersey is Safe, Part 2. Grainy dawn sunlight pushed gently in through the bedroom's drawn curtains. Wen woke, sat up quickly. She was alone. The pistol fit perfectly in the soap tray as she took a much-needed shower. Her spirits were improved tenfold after washing her hair, brushing her teeth, and slipping into a plaid bathrobe that had been in the duffel bag. She stepped back through the door connecting the bathroom and bedroom, the heavy steel handgun tucked into her robe pocket. Wen noticed that there was an answering machine on the bed next to the table. It was blinking the number 13 at her. There were a few for a Mr. Fernie, who she assumed was the house's warm-weather occupant. Her blood ran cold as it reached the eighth message. She froze in place, standing there in jeans and a bra. It was the same voice that had called her 5 days ago, when all this had begun. "As God leads I," it said and hung up. The next message was him again. "A godless aid." Click. She gasped and sat down hard on the mattress. Her hand went straight for the pistol. "Goes laid sad." Click. "What in the hell are you saying?" she screamed. "Gold sea days." Click. "As a dog is led. As God leads I." Tears streamed down her face now as she finished getting dressed. "Said old sage," was followed by diabolical laughter that would have sounded ridiculous to her in any other context. She zipped the duffel bag shut and ran downstairs. As soon as she ran into the kitchen, the phone rang. Her heart somersaulted in her chest, and she very nearly cried out in shock. It rang again. Again. She picked it up, but said nothing. Ah, Wen, you're finally home. Did you get my messages? She said nothing, but could hear her own breath in the phone. You ought to take a pen and write them down. They speak of things done and of things to come. Click. Dial tone. She stood for a long, long moment, holding the phone and trembling. She looked at the shaded kitchen window, certain that bullets were going to crash the glass inward at her any second now. Finally, she put the phone back down. Taking a magnetic grocery list pad from the refrigerator, she went upstairs to listen to the messages again. The same chill ran through her as the grating voice recited its phrases. She wrote each one down quickly as they came across, leaving no spaces. Finally, the recordings were finished, and she looked at her notes. As God leads I, a godless aid, goes laid sad, gold sea days, as a dog is led, as God leads I, said old sage. She quickly noticed that each phrase had the same number of letters. Then she realized that each separate phrase had the same letters in it. There was definitely some kind of code embedded in it. Her stomach ached with hunger, though she was in no mood to eat. She remembered the paper in her new identity's wallet. After searching the downstairs pantry and devouring 2 granola bars, she unfolded the paper from Golis. It was covered with at least 30 scribbled phone numbers. She got the cordless phone and dialed one of them. Elrond Baker's, answered a woman's voice. This is Wen Archer. I've been getting phone calls, messages on my machine. Please hold, ma'am. 30 seconds later, the same woman returned. What did the messages say? The last one told me to write down the previous messages. I did. Here they are. Wen read from the grocery list. She finished up by saying, It seems that each statement has the same letters in them. The operative who helped me was... But the woman interrupted her. Our agents operate mostly independently of each other. I'm unaware of their identities. Please do not tell me your agent's name. These messages are anagrams, a code style commonly used by your East Coast adversary. Rearranging the letters will reveal their true meaning. Try to find words using those letter combinations. Both women were silent as they examined the letters. I see the word sales in there, ventured Wen. Okay, good. We can combine sales and G-O-D for God, then... But that leaves us with A, D, and E. Nothing. Another few moments of silence followed. I see solid, Wen said. Okay, okay. But nothing works with solid. I see dead. Wen's blood ran cold. I see is and dead. That leaves L-A-G-O and S. Lagos? Lagos is dead? Wen's throat was painfully dry. Golis, she whispered. Goals? Does this mean something to you, Miss Archer? Goals is dead? Does that make sense? It's very important that you explain this to me. Wen clicked the phone off and stumbled to the pantry for a paper bag. She sat back and hyperventilated for a few moments. When she felt composed again, she grabbed her purse, the gun, and the duffel, and rushed out into the attached garage. It wasn't until she was standing right at the car door that she noticed the garage door wide open, the man standing in the doorway. She'd never seen him before. He couldn't have been a day under 75, and that was being generous. He wore an impeccable black suit with gold punctuations on his cufflinks, tie, shoes, glasses. A massive gold necklace culminated in a crucifix on his chest. In both hands, he held a long hunter's rifle. Hello, precious. His voice sounded like the one on her answering machine. Acting on terror reflex, she fumbled to click the safety off on her handgun. The man jumped into a stance and swung his rifle down at her. She squeezed her trigger and the pistol went off with a deafening roar. The man's hip exploded in a bloody tatter. He dropped the rifle and fell to the ground, clutching at the wound, his face contorted with agony. A few moments of surreal, quiet aftermath followed, discontinued abruptly when the man found his scream. Wen's mind rejected her reality's current servings of terror and shock, slipped into a state of numb autonomy. She fumbled the car door open and jumped into the driver's seat. A second later, she reversed out, thumping over what must have been his foot or his leg. She couldn't resist watching the old man writhe in pain on the driveway as she backed out onto the street. The spectacle stirred equal portions of fascination, horror, and pity in her psyche's decanter. She considered going back and shooting him between the eyes, but fear compelled her on, and she was soon speeding away. Thinking and feeling as little as possible, she allowed her subconscious mind to guide her back out to the highway. The next thing she knew, there was snow on the windshield, and a large roadside sign was welcoming her to New Jersey. All right, so I lied about not coming back after the story, but there are three reasons. One, I realized that this is unshow number 42. And, you know, that just needs to be noted that it's number 42. I also want to say that I'm just beyond grateful to the person who's not going to be able to make it to the Deadpan Gathering, but who contributed some money. I know that CJ and Ray have already put out some cash, so that was very cool of this person to donate some cash as a kickback. I mentioned Twitter before for the Deadpan Meetup, and Amy Bowen has created a Twitter hashtag, or Octothorpe, which is just pound deadpan meat. I don't know how often meat spelled as in we're going to meet somewhere, friggin' wise guys and pervs, not that kind of meat. So Deadpan Meat on Twitter. I don't know how widely it's been used, but it'd probably be a good idea to keep an eye on that over the weekend. And also keep an eye on the comments page, which you should be doing anyway, of course. But keep an eye on the Deadpan comments page. And if I'm able to, I'll post some stuff there that will be related to events for the weekend. All right, this is it. I'm done. Deadpan Unshow number 42 is out, and I will see some of you soon and talk to some of you soon. All right, my friends, Unshow out.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Aye, Captain.
I can't hear you!
Aye, Captain. Gosh, asshole.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Mangan's deadpan.
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he.
Mangan's deadpan.
If nautical nonsense be something you wish.
Mangan's deadpan.
Then drop on the deck and flop like a fish.
Mangan's deadpan. Mangan's deadpan. Mangan's deadpan. Mangan's deadpan. Mangan's deadpan. And sometimes we do haiku.
Big Chowder, we hardly knew ye. And what the hell, you know, just add some music. This will be the length of a short, regular show anyway. So this just graduated from an unshow to a very self-indulgent deadpan episode. You may want to pay a little bit of closer attention to this musical number that I'm going to leave you with. Alright, but this is really an ending. This is not like another Return of the King ending. This is an actual ending to the deadpan. That is all. Thank you. Good night. Goodbye. Over. Finished. Out. Finn.
Podcast killing the radio star. First podcast is full. I just hope that. depends on motherfucking way. Flashing neurons at your destiny. Are you listening? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Make sure that you download my latest episode.